You are listening to Normalized Crime, an in-depth look at gang life and all the effects that come along with it.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Normalized Crime. I'm Eric.
What's going on, Bordo here?
And we're back with part two of our Steve interview.
Can you give us
a little insight into what we're about to hear, Berto?
So that first part, man, I think was pretty eye-opening. The second part is, believe it or not, it's kind of a step up.
And I would agree.
and I think that's mostly because you start to see how evil these situations can become and just, you know, how fine the line is, man, between being on the right side and the wrong side of, you know, potential murderers, man, killers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think in this episode, it sheds a lot of light on not just, you know, the most common theme that we always talk about, which is why you should stay away from these organizations. You know what I mean? But, you know, also on the reality that, you know, once you're there, you know, you can kind of see these signs, man. You just realize that guys aren't always what they seem. And you put a lot of stock in the people. And no matter what, man, you're going to run into situations that, you know, pretty much if you end up on the wrong side of them, it could be your life. You know what I mean? Any day, every day for that matter. And yeah man. So I know you listen. I know you're probably chomping at the bit to get the rest of this out. So
yeah. What I took from this episode is just how bad the hypocrisy can take things, cuz this is like a whole bunch of hypocrisy within a gang that just goes so wrong and leads to so many horrible things happening that, wow, it's really eye opening. Like,
it, for sure.
If you didn't see it before, this story should show it for you, you know?
Yep. No, for sure. So, with that, man, I hope everybody enjoys it. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Here we go with part two.
There was another situation. Like, there was a lot of kings that respected me and knew me because I had been a king for 6 years. I had put in a lot of work. There was a situation that really, like, turned everybody against me in the hood. Like,
there against you?
Against me, bro. There was a murder in my hood, right? A king did it, right? And the cops knew about it, so they were looking for him. Me and some other kings, we hit him in Indiana. And long story short, he was really young, dude. He went schizophrenic over it, bro. Right? And when I say he was young, he was like 16, bro. So he committed murder at 16. He's basically like in a safe house. You know what I'm saying? It was a trap house, but it was his safe house. And he's just hit away, bro. And he's wanted by the police. He was like a mama's boy, you could tell. So, like, he was really scared, dog. You know, the cops are looking for him. He's facing life in prison. He committed a murder. So he's under a lot of pressure.
Right. Right.
Long story short, this nigga, he break, bro, mentally speaking. He went schizophrenic. So we collectively, me and the dudes that were like hiding him, we turned him back to the hood because the hood basically asked us to hide him. So we turn him back to the hood, but when we get him back to the hood, you know, he's schizo.
Right.
So they're like, yo, what the fuck did y'all do to this dude? What the fuck is y'all problem? You know what I'm saying? Imagine you give me a dude to go hide that's, you know, on the run from law enforcement for murder. And I return him like, yo, I could no longer hide this dude. And he's crazy.
Right. He's retired.
You're like, damn. Yo, what the fuck did you do to this dude? Are you fucking stupid? Right. Well, I turned him back a few weeks later, a week later. I don't remember the time frame, but it was really, really, it could have been a week, 2 weeks later. I go to a meeting, and at the meeting, they're like, check it out. You're leaving this meeting with dude. there's no ifs or buts about it. Like you can't walk out this meeting without him, right? And you gotta smoke this dude, right? Take him, you know, take him out to the woods somewhere, find some woods and take him out and, you know, put him out of his misery.
Right. Okay. So I know where we're going, and I just want to throw it out there now. Right. So this is a more accurate description of the episode that I did on this topic. I mentioned this earlier, you know, being able to have it come full circle and really, you know, understand it in detail, real time, you know, you feel like you're there. Cause I remember the story, even when I was telling it, I wasn't doing it justice, but I remember when you told it to me, I felt like I was there and I was like, damn, like that's a real crazy situation to be in. So I'm gonna let you finish that. But just so all the, you know, because we got a lot of people that listen, that have listened to probably every episode. And so they're familiar with a lot of different characters and situations. And so, yeah, so I'm looking forward to hearing it again. Let me hear it.
Yeah. So, you know, I show up to this meeting. They say, you can't leave with this dude. You know, I had a huge argument with you know, the leadership, the Inca, which is G, and he, you know, Paulie was gone. He was number two, but then he left because he was really fucked up. Right. But he's a really bitter dude. He's talking all this shit about me, but he's fucked up. So they had a different Casinka. They had different enforcers. And so, we, you know, it's like we're in a screaming match, bro. Right. Like they're saying, like, you're not leaving without taking this dude with you. Like, you're going to kill this motherfucker. Like, you're responsible for him.
Is he in the meeting?
He's upstairs, bro. We're in the living room. He's upstairs in the bedroom. But he's crazy, dog. Like, he's schizo, bro. When I've been around, I had a cousin and two friends that went schizophrenic. So I know for a fact he was schizo, right? So he could have been in the room. It didn't really matter, bro. You know what I mean? Like, this he was that gone, bro. Like,
right.
He used to be like, yo, I heard your name in the radio. They said this about you in the radio. Like, you and Superman are fucking going to get together. Or something. Like,
and what, that just happened from him being scared about being on the run?
Yeah, bro. Like, I think, like, the paranoia, him being on the run, being so scared. Like, I didn't, because I had been on pay status, he was a brand new king, dog. So, because I'm on pay status, I never got the opportunity to know him. In that time of me being gone and me being on pay status, the hood had grew by like 10, 15 members. But these are all young kids, dog. 13, 14, 15, 16 year old. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's a lot of new faces that I don't know, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I don't have the opportunity to get to know, because I got a business. I'm hustling on the street, dog. Like, I'm on the street hustling, dog. I don't got time to be in the hood, bro.
Yeah, you're in a different level at that point. You're in a different stage. You're
like, I'm not back when I was a kid and I'm in the hood every day with the pistol. You know what right. I'm saying?
New king. You're in a new king stage.
Yeah, yeah. So when they asked me to, when they asked me and these other two guys to take him, he didn't know us, dog, beyond seeing us at a few meetings. You know what I'm saying? So maybe it was that. He's with people he don't know. He's wanted for murder, dog. Like, I don't know much about his background. I could just tell you he was 16, dog. You know
what I mean?
Imagine yourself at 16. You commit a murder. You know the cops are after you, and you're facing a lot of fucking time, dog. Like, that shit is terrifying, bro.
Yeah,
that's a lot to handle. Period. Imagine being 16 to be able to process that. Obviously, he wasn't able to, that's why I say, like, his mind broke, bro, and he went schizophrenic. You know what I mean? I think the paranoia got to him, and his shit just broke, bro, and he went schizo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know if he has, like, prior history. You know what I mean? He was prone, like. I don't know, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right. All right. So
he goes crazy. I give him back. A week or two later, I go to a meeting and they're like, yo, you ain't leaving without dude. Right? You leaving with him and you got a smoker. Right? So my thing was, like, at that time, you know, I done prison time for work and a body. At that time, though,
for what?
For a body, for murder.
Oh, okay, so you had did time for one already.
No, not already. I'm saying now, like, before I went to prison, right? I'm out.
Right.
But before I went to prison, I had already did a body, which I went went to prison for.
Right. 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 Okay. Yeah. 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 That's what I'm saying.
I had already done that body up until that moment. Right.
Right. Right. So it's already lingering.
Yeah. Like this is something I already done. Right. But at that moment, everyone in the meeting except one or two dudes didn't know about it. Right. Like if you committed a murder, dog, or put in some serious work, like they didn't advertise it to everybody in the hood. Everybody didn't know about it, bro. Only
right.
whoever was there or needed to know knew about it. You know what right. I'm saying? So if right. you committed a if you committed a murder, dog, and I wasn't there or I wasn't number one or number two, I wouldn't know about it unless you told me about it, bro.
Right. You know what I'm right. saying?
And
right.
it was actively like told to everybody, like, don't tell anybody that doesn't need to know of the work you put in, bro. Because that, the more people that know, the more that you become a liability for someone.
Right. See, and that's, you know, what's crazy, bro, is when we can look at the differences in how it is. Right. So you look at the landscape here, like you're talking about, like where you're from, Chicago. Right. There's a lot more people. There's a lot more members. So, yeah, you're right. It's easier to kind of make sure that you keep it with who you keep it with. See, but when there's not that, like with us, for example, now that you change the landscape, we didn't have as many members. So our circle was really tight knit. So it was like our whole chapter, you know what I'm saying? At some points was our main guys, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. When somebody was shooting somebody, everybody knew because 9 times out of 10, they were there, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know what I'm saying?
Or just their house afterwards or had left their house.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Before or after the fact.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you know what I'm saying? Like, I guess this would be a better comparison. You know, like other chapters wouldn't know about what we had going on. You know what I'm saying? They just knew that we were putting in work because they heard it. Like, man, like 19 streets out there, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. They didn't have individual stories or names or to tie to any one thing. You know what I'm saying? They just knew the generalization of it. Like, damn, these dudes are out here, you know? And so I know what you mean in that sense, but it's crazy how the landscapes are completely different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. And you learn about shit like that through people bragging, like, you know, so-and-so did this or dude telling you like, yo, last night, like you could go to a meeting and people would be like, listen, guys went out and put in some work and we dropped someone or we hit some dudes. Like, or, you know, the bodies, you know, so-and-so that got smoked or the you know, whatever rivals got smoked. We were responsible for that. We did that.
Right.
They won't point out names. They won't be like, Billy and Bobby did it. You know what I'm saying? And John. Mm-hmm. Like that's right. A big no. You know what I mean? If you're so tight with them and they end up telling you what happened, then that's how you know about it, or you would
right, understand. Right. But it's relevant though, you know, just so to listen, like it's relevant because yeah. Everybody's like, oh, you keep everything to yourself. Yeah, in a sense, you do. You keep details, but it's relevant because now you gotta let all the people that you care about know, man, it's war. Like we just took this dude out; they're gonna be coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yes, you know like,
yeah, you have to let them know. Like, yeah, it's always war, but you're definitely gonna let them know when it's intensified because you just took somebody out. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's why it's important.
When you take someone out or you shoot someone like in the hood or to you go to another hood and do it, you got to expect they're going to come and do something. They're going to come and retaliate, bro.
Right. And that's why like another reason other chapters knew about us, because we would let them know like, yo, man, like we blast these dudes over here. Like, just so y'all know, like they're going to be looking for some guys. You know what I'm saying? Like they're going to be looking for the guys because we shot this dude or whatever. We weren't giving them details, but it's like, it's almost a courtesy to let people know, you know, a little bit ahead of time, like to be on point a little bit extra because guys do get lax. You know what I'm saying? Like, cause you know, you're at war all the time, but then you go on living. But when you know, it's like a heightened sense of urgency, you know, it gives people a little bit, you know, they think a little bit more. They think a little bit extra.
Yeah, you got to be alert. You don't want to get caught slipping.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I show up in the meeting, there's like a lot of people there, dog. There's like 15, maybe 20 motherfuckers, dog. And these dudes are saying this in front of everybody. So in my mind, I'm like, bro, I even said it. Like, bro, you asking me to go do this with all these motherfuckers right here going to know, bro. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
Right. I said it just like that. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you, bro? He's like, we all brothers. Like, nigga, you good. I was like, nah, we not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you tripping.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? At that point in my life, I had seen enough indictments where I seen brothers flip. So in my mind, I was like, nah, hell nah, nigga, you got me fucked up. Like, I'm not going to go put in some work and 15, 20 guys know about it. Josh, 2 years later, gets caught for whatever the case and tells them that I smoked someone.
Right, right. Right.
One.
Especially because that shit's going to be high profile as fuck. Like, oh, this person was on the run for murder. He's found killed execution style. Like you can imagine the narrative that's going to be behind that, bro. Ooh, so you're bro, telling me there's not going to be one of them dudes that are going to break. You know what I'm saying? That you know what I mean? Like that shit's going to be, because it's going to be done nasty. You got to think about it. It's going to be done execution style, bro. Just like that. Like,
and they were saying, listen, take him into the woods and just hit him in the back while he's walking.
Or right.
If you want to do it in front of his face, however you want to do it, that's on you. Just right. Leave him, we'll do it, and that's what you got to do.
Right. Right.
And then G was standing there, so he's just kind of looking at me, and he had knew about work I had put in. So, and he's like, you got this, man. And I'm looking at him like, bro, why are you doing this, dog? Like, why are you doing this in front of everybody? Two, like, I think maybe they all felt the same. Like, they didn't want to do this kid in, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a kid, dog.
Right.
Right. And so, and my other argument was too, the three, four other dudes that were there were there when that shit happened, dog. Right. Two of them were wanted also for the murder. Right. They were hiding, but they were at the meeting. Right. But they were wanted for the murder because one of them had been an Inca. I mean, had been an enforcer, and he called it out. Like, yo, hit dude right there. And Shorty went out and took care of business. Another dude was I forget the word. He was like a lookout, so he was wanted. And then one of the enforcers that was really driving the situation, he was there, but he wasn't wanted yet. Right?
Right.
Because they didn't know that he was out there, but he was an enforcer. He was the main enforcer. But they wanted the other enforcer, the second enforcer, because he was out there. He was seen out there on camera, so he was wanted. Right? But as soon as they figured that, as soon as they booked dude, because he's schizo, bro. They're in their mind, they're like, this motherfucker's going to cooperate no matter what. He's schizo. This nigga gone. He's lost. You
right.
Know what I'm saying? Like, there's no chance of him not cooperating. You know what I'm saying? Like, this motherfucker right. lost his mind. So in their mind, they're like, once they book him, because eventually they're going to book him, right? Because he like, your chances of getting booked are high if you're wanted, right? Of getting locked
yeah.
Hell imagine yeah. if you're schizophrenic, like your chances
yeah.
are.
Yeah, dudes aren't just getting away, bro. Like, you're getting caught.
This motherfucker ain't even man. Running from the police, dog.
Yeah, straight
you
up.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he can't even actively hide from, like.
So basically, it's they wanted you to do their dirty work.
That's how I felt. So I started saying that, like, listen, bro, y'all asking me for putting this work. I wasn't there that day. I don't know nothing about the situation, bro, beyond what y'all told me or in the fucking newspaper, bro. Like, I don't know nothing about it. What y'all need to do is keep this between y'all. Like, whoever it involves, whoever was there that day that murder happened, that's who needs to take care of this murder right here, bro. That's who needs to do it. And like, right. that was my main argument, right? But for whatever reason, dog, the main dude that was like the main enforcer, he was just like, no, I want you to do it. Like, and I'm like, bro, like, are you stupid? Like, you're expanding this more, dog, like in terms of the liability, right? Long story short, they wouldn't listen. They made me leave with him, bro, right? And these two other dudes. So we get in the car, and as soon as we get in the car, I'm like, listen, guys, that McDonald's that's right up there, I'm jumping out. We weren't in my car. So I'm like, listen, when we hit that McDonald's, that light right here, I'm going to jump out at the light. Don't worry about it. Y'all niggas do what y'all got to do, bro. I'm out this bitch. I want nothing to do with the situation, right?
Mm.
So I think if I had I not said anything, they maybe probably would have went forward with it. Right. Because these dudes were going to call up and make sure and you know what I'm saying? Or maybe even show up like, yo, what's up? Y'all took care of that or what's up? What the fuck is y'all with? They even said, listen, we'll call you tonight and I'll call you. If you haven't done it tonight, I'll call you in the morning and make sure it's done in the morning.
Right.
Right. So maybe if I wouldn't have said nothing like, yo, drop me off right here, I'm gone, bro. Right. They might have went ahead with it. It might have happened. I don't know, bro. But when we got in the car, in my mind, I was like, I'm not doing it, dog. I'm straight. Like, I don't care the consequences. I'm good.
Right.
But when I said that, I feel like that because nothing was said in the car for like 5 minutes as we were driving, dog.
And how many of y'all was it?
It was three of us, dog. And the crazy and the schizo kid, right? That was right. Smoke. So I'm like, nah, bro, I'm not doing this. I'm not going away. In my mind, I was like, someone's gonna snitch on me. I'm not going away for this shit. Fuck that shit. I was like, listen, bro, right now when we hit that light, drop me off. So that changed like the atmosphere in the car, bro, because everything had been quiet and it kind of changed it up. They were like, yeah, man, what should we do? All right, nah, don't jump out. Like, what should we do? His family had been looking for him, right? But they had been actively telling people like, listen, we want him so we can hide him instead of you guys hiding him. But the Kings had agreed not to do that, bro, right? So I was like, let's reach out to his family and see if they'll hide him, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because
basically, these niggas want to smoke him because they don't want to hide him anymore, dog.
And right.
A huge liability, right? We turn him into his family, bro. We reach out to his family. People talk to his family, whatever the case is. They're like, they desperately just want him back, bro. Like, his mom was, like, going to the hood and literally crying to, like, Kings that she knew, like, that scene on the street. She used to literally cry to them, beg them, like, please. Like, she missed her son, bro. She's like, I'm going to hide him. I'm not going to turn him over to the police. Like, please. Have him call me. Like, I want to know he's like, they thought he might have been dead. Like, they figured that maybe the Kings had killed him, y'all. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, and like, his mom for weeks, bro, was doing this shit, bro. Like, she was like badgering the Kings, dog. Like, at one point, people were like banning her from the hood, dog. But I mean, imagine she's like a desperate mother looking for her son, bro. Right. And, She hasn't heard nothing from him. Like, literally, dog, we couldn't even let this nigga hold a phone because there was times where he broke down, bro, crying like, bro, please just let me call my mom, dog. Like, and like, it hurt us. It hurt me when he asked me the few times he asked me or asked the other guys when we were like, we were hiding him out. Like, imagine, bro, like me coming to you, like, with tears in my eyes, like, bro, let me call my mom, please, dog.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? Like that hurts you emotionally, dog. You know what I'm saying? Ultimately, we reach out to his family. We return to his family hide him, right? That shit was a huge, big deal in the hood, dog. Like, and these two dudes kind of blamed it on me, dog, right? Like, kind of was like, yo, it was dude's idea, dog. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really my idea. It was kind of agreed upon. My idea was like, yo, I don't want nothing to do with it. And they were like, hold on, wait, let's figure this out together, right?
Right, right. They wanted to make it your idea.
Right. So this kind of became a big deal, dog. And like the group that had been there for that murder, them dudes had swayed in the hood at the time because they were in the hood every day, bro. I wasn't, right? So from that moment forward, there was already dudes that hated me and didn't like me. From that moment forward, because of that, everybody hated me in the hood, dog. No one liked me, right? But outright, they didn't come after me. Like, I didn't even get a violation for that, bro. Nothing happened. Like. And so it was like really odd situation where I was like, damn, like, because I was like, they're going to fuck me up for this. Right. But I was like, oh, well, like, I'd rather get fucked up than go to prison for murder. Because in my mind, I was like, nigga, if I smoke this nigga, someone's going to snitch out of 15, 20 niggas. One of the motherfuckers is going to trick on me.
Yeah, for sure.
So the odds, there wasn't much of a choice in my mind. Right. So, so I was like, I'm going to deal with whatever consequence I got to deal with. So, but nothing happened. So I found it really odd, dog. So I was like really paranoid. Like, these niggas are going to try to smoke me, dog. Right. Because mind you, this wasn't sanctioned by anybody. This was like a hood thing, bro. Because even in the argument where we were having a scream match, I was like, bro, this nigga's a king, dog. You can't even do that, bro. We're not even allowed to kill kings. And they're like, when I said that, dog, Arika was like, shut the fuck up, nigga. Don't ever say that. Like, this is going to stay in the fucking hood, nigga. No one's going to know about it except anybody that's here in this meeting. Like, you know, that I think that was one of the main reasons, like, it wasn't brought up. Because legally speaking, inside the Lion King laws, it was illegal what they were asking me to do anyways.
Yeah, of course. You know
what I'm saying? Like,
because he was made already.
He was made. He was a king, bro. I can't ask you to go kill another king, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Without no matter the circumstances. Yeah. Right? Yeah. On what grounds?
So, you know what on mean? What grounds could you beat my ass for not killing them?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they were kind of in a tight situation where, like, they couldn't do nothing to me for it, but they didn't like me for it, right? Well, so no one really liked me. Like, maybe, like, 2-3 weeks passed. No one's talking to me. I'm kind of just like waiting to see like what's going to happen, right? And these 2-3 weeks, I started like hearing rumors like one of my best friends was like, hey, bro, this nigga Paulie came over here, right, to one of his businesses and was like, what's up? We're going to call me over and let's smoke his bitch ass, right? Damn, dog. Right. So I heard this from like two different people, and that G knew about it, right?
Talking, yeah.
Damn, they're gonna try to do me in like they're gonna do the kid, right?
Well, right.
I'm kind of like paranoid, right? Well, anyways, there's a meeting. They make it mandatory for everybody to go. Me and my boy show up. One of the dudes that was with me, that we agreed not to kill, dude, right? So we go to this meeting, right? When we show up at the meeting, there's only like 15 people there, dog, right? Mind you, Paulie, you know, he hates me for the whole 500-pound situation. He shows up unannounced, right? This is the first meeting. Mind you, this is the first meeting that takes place since I refused to kill the kid, right?
Right, right.
So I'm like, fuck, like I had even told people, I had told like my brothers, like my girl, other people are like, yo, we going to this meeting. This is where the meeting's going to take place. Like, my phone going to be off. But if I don't turn it on, like, within, like, an hour, like call the police or something. I don't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was that paranoid, dog. Right? So, we go to the meeting, right? And Paulie show up unannounced with the regional Inca. I mean, no, with the regional enforcer, right? Mm-hmm. Him and the regional enforcer were really tight. So, they show up, right? And unannounced, but this is it's unusual for Paulie to show up. He was kind of like fucked up still, limping around, right, from his car accident. So it was rare for him to be there, right? He kind of had excuses not to be around because he's he got a fucking injury, bro. So right. But he showed up. But for him to show up with a regional enforcer is really it's unusual. Like if a regional enforcer is gonna show up to your meeting, bro, everybody there gonna know about it, dog. Because
right.
They're going to roll out the red carpet for this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, the nigga not going to show up unannounced. You know what I'm saying? And this dude particularly was, like such a fucking bitch-ass dude, bro. He was fucking bitch, bro. Like, I'm, like, the biggest bitch, bro. I hated this dude with
him. Hey, yo. Huh. No, listen. So, like, me and you, we're just having a conversation, right? Like, 100%. I respect it, but let me explain it, right? So, for those that don't know how to read between the lines, like, this dude was just a scumbag, man. Like, he had all the damn power at his fingertips, and he acted like that, and he was just a bad human being. You know what I mean?
He was such a bitch ass dude, such a grimy dude.
Yeah.
And for people to understand, like the way the Latin Kings are structured, imagine like Starbucks, right? Every store is a hood, right? And imagine like one part of Chicago, like one side of the, like let's say the south side of Chicago is a region. And let's say it got 100 stores, right? So every store got a manager, a number one. They got, you know, the supervisor or the number two and number three, every store. That's how every hood is laid out. And one guy is in charge of that region. So one guy might be in charge of like 100 or so hoods, less than that, like 50 hoods. So like 50 stores, right?
Right.
And he might have like, two guys, his right hand man and an enforcer. Like
right. Supervisor. It's basically the same structure of each hood, but just on a greater scale. So you're gonna have a regional Inca, regional Kasinka, regional enforcer. Yeah, like
and that
you know
and
I mean?
Them regional officers, they'll run 30 hoods, bro. They'll be right. In charge of 30 hoods.
Right.
So for one of them for the regional enforcer to show up, it's unannounced, it's really rare, really odd. And right. For this dude to show up, he's such a bitch, bro. Like such a bitch. Like to give you an example, like one time they called me, like he didn't have my number, nothing like that. Like I didn't have his number, he didn't have my number. But like my Inca called me and was like, yo, literally at 4 a.m. and woke me, like was blowing me up. Like, bro, could you go to this highway that was like down the street from where I live and could you change this nigga's tire? His tire blew out, bro. I went there, dog. Right? This is 4 a.m, bro. I travel over there. This nigga's just standing there, sitting me, watching me sitting, change the tire, dog. Like, he too good to help me. One. The jack I had was fucked up, right? So, like the car he had was kind of really low to the ground. My jack was fucked up. I couldn't get it under there. Like, he started calling people, like, yo, who the fuck did you send over here? This fucking retard. Like, this fucking retard, this stupid-ass fucking kid can't even fucking change my fucking tire. And I'm like, what the
fuck? Damn.
Another time, he showed up to another meeting, and he had, like, this device, like, this wand that detected, like electrical signals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, yo, where you get that, bro? And he was like, the fuck do you need it for? Like that. Like, just talk to people like that, bro. Like, in such a condescending, belittling.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, I didn't even say nothing. Obviously, like I didn't say nothing when he said. Like, when he said that to me about changing the tire, I didn't say nothing. Because he'd get me fucked up, to be honest.
Right.
And when he said that, when I asked him about the little device he had, obviously, I didn't say nothing for the same reason. Right?
Yeah. That's how it is, though. You know what it is. Yeah, and he's going to flex. You know he's going to flex. Like, that's what they wait for. That's what they want.
Listen, I literally seen two different people, bro, literally question him, and he fuck him up on the spot. Mm. Like, literally, like argue with him or try to question his authority. Fuck this nigga up. And then they look, and people will. I seen a situation where he said, fuck this nigga up right now. Take him to the back and fuck him up. Give him 3 minutes. And everybody stood there for a second, was like, is this nigga for real? He's like, motherfuckers, I said, fuck this nigga up, or all you motherfuckers are getting fucked up. And you know, obviously, man, they hurried up and took the dude and fucked him up.
Right.
Like, he was such a bitch. Anyway, so he shows up with this, and he's a big fat bitch, by the way. Sloppy dude, like, I hate this dude. Anyway, so right. He shows up with this dude, and immediately, like, G, he's number one at the time. And mind you, Paul and G are our first cousins. They're like best friends. They're like in sync and everything, right? Well, so G's kind of confused that Paulie showed up, one, not telling him, two, that he's with the regional officer, which G had beef with, bro. That's why him and Paulie were switching up, like shuffling positions. Like, that was the main reason. G and the regional enforcer had beef. So that's why he kept stepping up and stepping back, like in terms of like being number one, something for me once.
Because he ain't want to deal with dude.
He ain't want to deal with dude, bro. Right? He was hard to deal with. This was like a common thing. Everybody knew this. He kind of looking like, why the fuck is he here? Right? So Double G tried to like carry on with the meeting, try to open it up and go on. And maybe like, I don't know, a few minutes in, like they let him speak for a few seconds and then like the regional forces just cut him off. Like, all right, man, shut the fuck up already. Like that. Like, all right, man, shut the fuck up already. I'm tired of hearing this shit. So check it out. You, G, are no longer number one. The number one now is Paulie. That's what's going on. Paulie, go ahead and choose. Everybody that got a spot don't got a spot no more. Paulie, go ahead and choose your position. Your you know, like whoever your administration is. Because when a new Inca becomes Inca, you know, gets elected or gets put in place, whatever the case, he usually, like he'll shuffle, like he comes in with his own administration. Like, he chooses who's going to be his
right.
number two and his number three, and he might have more than one number threes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Depending on the hood size, right?
Right.
So obviously, like, G tried to, like, try to argue with dude. He's like, you know, he's like, man, you can't do this. I can do whatever the fuck I want, man. Like, this shit's already a done deal. He's like, call whoever the fuck you want. Go cry and bitch. Like that. Like, go cry and fucking bitch and whine to whoever the fuck you want to. Right? And G was just, like, so, like, dumbstruck, bro. Like, he didn't even know what to say. He's like, you know what? I'm transferring. He's like, I don't give a fuck. Get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you still doing here, you dumb motherfucker? Like belittling him and humiliating him so much, though. Like, he didn't even know what to say. He just, like, walked out, bro.
Damn.
And then as soon as he walked out, like, Paul was like, all right, so check it out. You're going to be my number two. You're going to be my number three. You're going to be my second number three. Like, he assigned his people. But you could tell the dudes he assigned, like, knew what was up. Like, they were like, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, usually, like, people kind of, like, celebrated, clap, like, oh, damn. You know what I mean? Like, it was more like almost like they were smiling, like, smirks, like, yeah, like, nigga. Like, we did this. You're like, we just cooped this last administration of the cut.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then immediately, like, he pointed at me and my boy, like, all right, so check it out. You are no longer on pay status, and neither are you. I'm like 19, my boy's 20, right? And I'm like, what the fuck? My other boy, which is little Juan, which we talked about earlier, he was on pay status too. We're the same age. So he's standing there. He's there. But they don't say nothing about him. So I'm like, I was probably bogus, but I was like, yo, why are you taking me off pay status, right? And then the dude's like, there's a new rule. The enforcer answered, like, there's a new rule. You have to be 25 to be on pay status, right? So I'm like, yo, is Lil Juan staying on pay status? And then they're like, yeah. And I'm like, so this nigga not 25. Why are you taking me off and not taking him off, right?
Right.
And so right away he's like, listen, you need to worry about you and your situation, nobody else's, right? So he kind of shut me up with that. And the way he said it, like, nigga, you need to worry about you. Like you in hot water right now, nigga. Like, you on thin ice. Like, you need to be worried about you, my boy. Not about no one else.
Right.
So I didn't say nothing. You know, the meeting didn't ended very soon after that. And that was that. Like, we jumped in my car with my boy, and we did. And my other boy that I had, like, kind of was like, yo, why didn't they take him off status? Like, outside, he was like, damn, nigga, why you put me on blast, whatever. I was like, yo, what's going on, dog? What you know that I don't know? He's like, honestly, I don't know shit. He would have told me, though, because he, someone else had told him, Paulie had actually told him also, like, yo, wanted to set me up to smoke me, and he had told me. So I know he would have told me if something like that, something fishy that he knew about was going on, he would tell me, because he told me that Paulie was like actively trying to find a way to smoke me, right?
Right.
So he said he didn't know nothing, so we left, right? This is like a Sunday, right? Well, the following weekend, right, on a Friday or Saturday, I had a party to go to, and this wasn't a Keen party, though, bro. This was like a regular Neutron party. Neutrons, if your viewers know, are just like people that are not non-gang affiliated. They're non-gang members. Right.
I think I mentioned them before.
So I'm going to it's in the King Hood.
Like they're not people and shit. Like, yeah. I mentioned that kind before. That kind of people. Yeah.
The Mudbloods.
Nah, yeah. Neutrons, man. They have a role though, man. You know, yeah, they're around.
So this is like a regular party, non gang affiliated, but it's in King Hood, right? And some of the people that were there, new Keens or whatever, a cool King, but you know, they're not affiliated. Anyway, so me, my boy that I've mentioned before that was on pay status, his name is S. Me, S, we're going, and this other King that I was cool with, he was in good standings with everybody. His name is Boyo, right? He was a good King, but he hung out with us all the time. But he was really involved with nothing, no beef, no major situation. He wasn't in bad standing, though. He was guilty literally of just hanging out with me, right? Of being real cool with me. So we go to this party, right? The following weekend, right? Me and my boys are kind of like, we're kind of a little bit paranoid because of what just the coup that just happened in the hood. The main dude that doesn't like us, Paulie, is now runs the hood, and there's like, and Gene ain't there to hold them back, right?
Right.
So we're like, damn, what the fuck, right? So we pick up Boyo, right? I was driving. We pick up Boyo, and when Boyo gets in the car, he starts telling us, like, yo, if y'all need some weed or help me move some weed, here I got some pounds from another King, right? Another King from our hood had front of him, not a lot of weed. It was like 10, 15 pounds, something like that. Right. So he was like, so when he jumped in the car, he's like, hey, yo, I just got weed from, let's just call this dude Gio. He's like, yo, I just got weed from Gio, bro. Right. I just got like 10, 15 pounds from Gio. And what's up? Could you guys help me move it? You guys know anybody that needs some weed? Whatever the case. Right. And he just got it like 2 days prior. Right. 3 days prior. right? So we get to the party. When we get to the party, bro, though, instead of it being nothing but neutrons, bro, there's like 20 kings there, dog. And this party is a house party, right?
Right.
It's on a third story. We're on a third story again. Anybody from Chicago knows that in Chicago there's a lot of three flats. So we're on the third story. It's like a three bedroom apartment. So there's like, I don't know, 40 people there. It's hella packed, right? And there's like 20 kings there. So when we walk in, we're like, damn, what the fuck is there so many? We were surprised. It wasn't supposed to be kings there. We were probably supposed to be the only kings there. Maybe another one or two off kings. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we were like, what the fuck? How do they even know about this party? Right. So we asked the dude that lives there. He's a neutron. Like, yo, what are they doing here, bro? Right. And this is odd. This is odd. Kings asking why kings are there, right? Like, this is how you know. Like, we're in a fucked up position, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yo, why are so many kings here and all? Like, ancient kings, right?
They think you'd be happy.
Yeah, right? So, dude's like, dude that owns the apartment, he's like, nah, I don't know. They just showed up, bro. And he like a neutron. He grew up in the kinghood, so he kind of scared of the kings, dog. For good reason. Even though he's good with the kings in terms of like everybody knows him, he grew up in the hood, he's not associated, but this nigga seen murders, seen shootings, knows what it is. Like he's more than eager to being good with the kings. He's not, you know what I mean? He never on the wrong side. So he like when they showed up, he wasn't gonna be like, nah, y'all can't come in.
Right.
They showed up like, yo, you having a party, bro? We coming in. He was like, all right, you want a beer? You
know what I mean? Yeah. Right. Like, hell yeah.
Right? And we asked him, like, yo, what are they doing here, bro? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know how they knew about this party. So as soon as we walk in, bro, right, the two dudes that were enforcers immediately come up to us, all three of us, and start talking shit to Boyo, like, what's up, motherfucker? You jacked Gio? And right away, me and S got in the way, like, because they were hell of aggressive, right? We're like, well, calm down, dog. Like, they were ready, like, they were, like, pointing their hands in his face. Like, they were ready to fuck him up right there on the spot. But because me and S got in the way, like, wait, what was y'all talking about? And they're like, this dude, Boyo, jacked Gio for some weed. And we're like, so, you know, Boyo, like, nigga, what are you talking about, bro? Gio just gave me the weed 3 days ago. He fronted me the weed on credit. And they're like, so they looked a little confused themselves when he said that. And we're like sticking up for Boyo, like, nah, bro, he just told us about it. And we're like, I got Gio's number, dog. I'm like, bro, we're going to call up Gio right now, bro. What the fuck? Like, we're going to kill this situation right now. Like, Boyo, if you jack Gio, they're going to fuck you up right now, bro. But if not, y'all tripping, bro. Let's call him up. Like, we go in a room because, you know, it's loud. So we go in a bedroom, and all of us in the bedroom, we call Gio. We put him on speaker. Like, Gio, did Boyo jack you? And he's like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, where is he? Like, is he gone or something? Did he like Gio, like, did he check me? What are you talking about?
Right.
And Boyo right there, Boyo's like, nah, bro, like, we good, right? Like, and Gio's like, yeah, we good, bro. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're not jacking me, are you? What the, like, you know, like, he confused, he lost, bro. So everybody in the room, like, the two enforcers, like, damn, what is this nigga talking? Like, they realized at that moment they got sent off on a send-off mission, right? So they're like, oh, misunderstanding. Gio's like, Gio's like, everything's good. All right, so we hang up on Gio, and everything's like, all right, my bad. Like, they apologize to Boyo, and we go back up to the party, dog. We go in the living room, we go back into the party, and we're kind of looking at each other like, what the fuck is going on, bro? But before we left the room, we had asked, like, who told you guys this? And they're like, Paulie told us that Boyo jacked Gio, and if we've seen him to fuck him up. And we're like, call Paulie. They tried to call Paulie in front of us, but he didn't answer. So we went back up to the party, dog. So we in the living room, like, what the fuck? And I'm texting Paulie, like, yo, bro, what's up, dog? Like I text him directly, like, yo, what's up, bro? This nigga, you know, these two enforcers are saying that you saying that that Boyo Jack Gio was going on, but he just texted me like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
The fuck, bro? What the fuck going on, right? These dudes stay in the room trying to call Paulie, right? Because basically they were on orders to fuck Boyo up. So they got to get in contact with Paulie to tell him, like, hey, we're not going to fuck up Boyle because we called Gio and Gio said that he didn't get Jack. So,
right.
We're sorry. You were wrong, boss. Whatever. Well, they finally come out the room, right, and walk towards us. We thinking like they're just going to come and be like, yeah, we talked to Paul. It was a misunderstanding or something, right? Well, they get up to us. They like kind of stand next to us. I'm like, yo, what's up? What's going on? Everything good? And they're like, yeah, we talked to Polly. Don't worry about it. It's a misunderstanding. And then one of them just cracks Boyle with a bottle, bro, with a Corona bottle over the head. Bam, boom. So they start fucking them up, right? Like they kind of rush them. Mind you, listen, there's 20 kings there, dog. No one knows what the fuck going on except the two enforcers that are there to fuck Boyle up. And
right.
Me as... And Boyle, right? But we only know what happened since we got there, right? So, but outside of them five people, us five, no one knows what's going on. But just to put some context, if you're at a party, right, or at a get together, or whatever the fuck, right, and you see a king or a group of kings, one, two, three kings, start fucking someone up, there is no questions to be asked. You're supposed to
go if over one king moves,
fuck them up.
One king moves, all king moves. Yeah.
That's how that goes.
That's how most bullshit gets started, bro.
Yeah, true. So, you know, we're at a party, people are drinking, getting fucked up. So as soon as these two dudes started fucking Boyle up, bro, it was like fucking cockroaches on fucking fucking flies on shit.
Right.
Immediately, they see someone fucking up. Everybody just like rushed over there, bro, and started bombarding us, trying to like get a punch and a kick in, bro. So like I kind of fell over, like S got out the way. They start fucking this dude up, and I'm like as soon as I got on my feet because I stumbled over, I was like, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing?" Like I'm telling our main enforcer, like, "What the fuck is you doing, bro?" Right, mind you. Let me stop for a second. Mind you, not only if one king moves, all king moves, but if the kings are, this is a law. If a bunch of kings are fucking up another king, and you stand there and do nothing, that's illegal. That's standing idle. That's a violation.
Yeah, stand idle. Yeah.
Right. So I'm basically standing idle. Like, yo, what the fuck going on? What the fuck is y'all doing? Like, I'm grabbing our enforcement. Like, what are you doing right now, bro? Like, nigga, we just talked to Gio, dog. What the fuck is you doing? And he like, what the fuck is you doing, motherfucker? Fuck this nigga up. And I'm like, what? He's like, I said fuck this nigga up. He's like, and he even said, nigga, you standing idle if you don't fuck him up. And it was just like a stare down. I literally just didn't move for a second. I was like, confused, like, what the fuck? Right? And like, they fucking him up, bro. This nigga's like trying to like, run around, they're dragging them. And like I stood there for like a minute and then I was like, dog, they gonna fuck this nigga all the way up. Like they trying to stomp this nigga's brains out, bro. Niggas are already fucked up, like hella drunk. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm really cool with this dude. I've seen this happen to people where people get stomped out, like unconsciously, they end up in a coma type of shit, bro.
Right.
So I'm like, damn, what the fuck? Like there's like so many commotion, like our enforcer like went back to start a fucking dude up and shit. And I just stood there though for a minute, you know. And niggas are like fucking this nigga up, right? So I'm like I said, I was cool with him and I felt bad. And I know I've seen what happens when they just stomp you out. So I was like, I'm gonna help this dude, dog. So I go in there, like I kind of like push my way in, bro. And I start dragging this dude towards the door down the hallway. Mind you, they fucking him up. No one's stopping me from doing this because there's so much commotion in such a tight space. It looks like I'm like I might be trying to fuck him up too. Like you don't know. Like there's that
right.
Commotion. You can't right. Tell the difference between
you me threw in an eye gouge or something to play it off.
Like bro, quick. When I say I was dragging him, I literally grabbed his leg and was dragging him down the hall where they're stomping him out and punching him.
Okay.
So it doesn't look like, they look like maybe I'm taking them somewhere. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't look like I'm helping them too much. But my intention was to get them to the door, open the door, and have them run out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But by the time I get to the door, someone pulled out a gun, y'all. Right? And tried to shoot the nigga, bro.
In the party.
inside the party, dog. Like, this is how drunk and fucked up niggas were. They tried to shoot him in the party. Like, nigga poor from another hood. I don't know his name. I didn't know him. I've seen him around. But he pulled out a gun and was about to shoot this nigga. I literally grabbed his hands, dog, right? I grabbed his hands and stopped him physically from shooting this nigga, dog. Like, we're struggling for the gun. And another king from that king's hood literally came up behind me and started choking me, like, put me in a chokehold, dog, right? And I'm trying not to let go of the gun, right? And kings from my hood that didn't know what was going on, they just seen me getting choked out by another king, kind of jumped in, bro, for me and my defense. Like, what the fuck is you doing? You choking out a king, you know what I'm saying? And so there was like a big commotion between my hood and another hood that kind of like it died down a little bit. Like niggas, like 4 or 5 niggas kept fucking boil up. But like the 10 niggas and 10 niggas were kind of like pushing each other and arguing because this nigga was choking me out. And he wouldn't let me go, bro. Right?
He wouldn't let you go?
He wouldn't let me go because in his mind, all he seen was me grab the gun trying to take the gun from a king from his hood. Right? So
right.
He naturally, like, imagine you see me, you don't know me, or you and me are kings from the same hood, and you see a dude trying to take a gun from me, bro, and you kind of standing behind him, you're going to choke that nigga out. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, what the fuck is you doing trying to take a gun from my boy? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right, yeah.
So, and naturally, the kings from my hood that didn't know what was going on, that were just there, jumped in, like, yo, why are you choking him out, right? So, there's that commotion, finally lets me go, and they tell him, like, he a king, he good, we're not fucking him up. Right, and I'm looking over at S like, open the door, dog. Open the door, bro. Open the door, dog. I'm even like this, like, nigga. He closer to the door to go outside. I'm like, open the door, bro. Right, I'm pointing at the door, like, open the door, bro. Like, I didn't even try to defend myself from dude choking me out, bro, because I was just so focused on getting Boyo out. Like, they're gonna kill this nigga, dog. Right, like, the nigga just tried to shoot him. I didn't even acknowledge him choking me out, dog. Like, I didn't care. You get what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so finally, I kind of like, once like they were kind of like arguing with each other, I kind of got away for a second. And I opened the door myself and I pulled it open and I tried to drag him out. In the commotion, everybody goes back and focuses on dude. And this is how fucked up and how much commotion there's going on. That the dudes are like, they start saying, like saying my name, like, yeah, yeah, throw him out. That's a great idea. Throw him over, bro. Because as soon as you open the door, there's a balcony, bro. To go, and you could throw, you know, you could go over, bro. So they're like, right. Yeah, throw him over. That's like a great idea. So everybody literally starts trying to pick him up and throw him over, dog. The third floor. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he's like holding on to like the railing for dear life. And they're trying to push him over. I'm trying to drag him back over. And like in the commotion, like people are pushing each other. He kind of like falls back over. Instead of going over, he falls back on the other side. And I just push him down the stairs, dog. And he like rolled down, you know, three flights of stairs or whatever. But he ain't go over, though. You know what I'm saying? And I kind of like walk down there and just leave.
That's a lot of flights of steps to fall down, though.
Nah, he got fucked up for sure. He got fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's better than going over the top. Yeah,
going over the top. Yeah, he would have been really fucked up.
He would. Yeah, he probably don't. He probably don't survive that.
Like 2-3 niggas went outside and kept trying to fuck him up, but he ended up was able to run off. So I go outside, jump in my car, and I start driving around looking for this nigga. I find him. I go back up and pick up S, and we dip off. Right? I'm like, dog, what the fuck happened? Like, right? And I'm telling that, like, why didn't you jump in and help me, bro? Like, and dude's just like, I was scared, dog. I'm not gonna get fucked up.
Right.
Like, I don't even know why you helped this nigga, dog. You let him get fucked up. And I swear to God, mind you, S and Boy are way cooler than me and Boy are, dog.
Right, right.
Like, they really tight, nigga.
Right. And he
was like, nigga, I don't know why you jumped in for this nigga. You stupid. So let this nigga get fucked up.
Damn. But they didn't know why, though. He didn't know why, though, right?
Yeah, none of us are coolest. So we're like, we're just trying to call Paulie because he's the number one. And we're like, nigga, what the fuck happened? Finally, I get a hold of him. And I'm like, yo, bro, I told him what happened. And this nigga act cooler, though. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to call. He's like, let me make some phone calls and find out what happened. They weren't supposed to do that, bro. like that, like cool about it. Anyways, long story short, this nigga never called back. We keep calling him, he don't answer. Me and S are like, dawg, let's go back to the party and try to talk to people and see what happened. Right? This is like 2 hours later. And so we're like, yeah, let's just go back. Like, we'll drive around, we'll go back there. And if there's not a lot of cars there, we'll go inside. Right? So we go back, we go inside, and the dude that owns the crib, that owns the apartment, like, when he sees us, bro, this nigga's, like, terrified, bro. He's like, bro, you gotta leave, dog. Get the fuck away from my house, dog. Get the fuck away from my apartment. We're like, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you, dog? Like, why? He's like, you just gotta leave. Please leave. We're like, nah, dog. Like, what's going on, bro? Like, why are you so terrified? There was this other king there that was a little younger than me. He was really cool. I was really cool with him. He's the only king there, dog. There is no other kings. Like the party was dead already, right? There was like 10 people left. No one was a king except that kid. And the dude that owned the apartment was there. But he was like terrified. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Like, I asked the king, like, yo, what's going on? And he's like, bro, they just had a meeting here. And at the meeting, they put you and this dude S on souls, dog. And the niggas said that since y'all niggas are going to probably get indicted anyways, and you know about dude, and you let dude go, you know about that murder, and everybody that was there, if you get caught for something, and you snitch, you're going to tell everybody about that, and you didn't smoke, dude, and you stood idle where they fucked up oil, they're going to one you on SOS, and because of that, they're going to smoke your ass. So if you get indicted or something, you're probably going to cooperate or something.
Damn, dog. So
like after that, I just never went back, dog. But like basically after that, I was on KOS. Ultimately, like a few weeks later, I got in a big shootout with the Kings. They ended up burning like partially my mom's house. They cocktailed it while everybody was in there. And then ultimately, I ended up getting indicted later with the Kings.
Damn, bro. It's crazy, dog. Like, you know, when you try to put that shit into a timeline perspective, man, people, it's hard to really get the gravity of it. I know it, you know what I'm saying? Cause I can understand the pressure of it, the constantness of it. Like there's no break in it. Like it's all day, it's every day, you know what I'm saying? And so I can imagine like all those scenarios leading up, because we're dealing with the same kind of animal, the same kind of structure, the same kind of beast. You know what I mean? Like, obviously yours is on a different scale because you got so many more members there. And to an extent, obviously you have access to your regional Inca. I mean, your regional Inca, like we did, but we'd have to come down there. Like we'd have to come down there in order to really talk to, I know, right before we got indicted, though, the regional Inca ended up being from Waukegan. So it was easier to have access to him. That was in 2005. So, yeah, so that was fucking. But, yeah, there's a lot of differences, man. I just think about, you know, like the listeners, it's easy to hear a story. But, man, that you know, living that shit daily, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like you talk about moments in your head where you're like, damn, man, like it's life or death all day. You know what I'm saying? Every day. And it's like, you're in survival mode and shit. It's not like you got, you know, access to just go to different places. Like this is where you're from, you know what I'm saying? And, that shit's crazy, bro, to think about, man, like how the people that, you know, they throw the fist to their heart, you know, I'll die for you.
You grow up with, y'all, like, in a heartbeat, like, there was dudes that I grew up with, that I went to school with, that I knew, like, most of my life, that they weren't in the hot spot with me, but they knew me all their life, and they just stood by there. They didn't say nothing. They was just like, damn, like, that's fucked up, that's happening to you.
Right.
I feel bad for you, but I'm not going to say a word for you either, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's another prime example, man. You shed light on just exactly what what we'd like to talk about, man, just the hypocrisies in the lifestyle, like just how the favoritism and, bro, you just end up on the bad end of something and you know what I mean? Like, you get turned on, you know? Everything you ever dedicated your life to, that shit don't mean nothing no more. You know what I mean? Like, you could have died any day, bro. Think about that. Like, in 6 years of being active, like, you could literally die any day. Like, you got all these dudes trying to kill you. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then at some point, that none of that shit means nothing. You know, that's a pretty paper thin belief system. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shit that people profess is completely different than what they actually do. Nah, man, I think this was a good conversation, man. This is a good conversation, a good eye opening conversation. Able to shed some light on a bunch of shit, and I'm sure we could probably go on back and forth for, you know, hours, man, just talking about different stories and different shit and how they all intertwine. And you came in a little bit after me, right? So
yeah,
because figure. When I got indicted 05, you came in when 08?
No, I went 2011.
No, when'd you become a king?
Oh, like 2003?
2003. Okay, yeah, I came in 2001, I became a king. Yeah. So the few times when I came down there, you wouldn't have been around yet. Cause this is like 02. And then probably in 03 though.
Plus I was a kid, like I was
just
a regular kid. Regular street soldier.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. All right, man. Well, look, I'll wrap this up, man. I'm sure at some point we could probably get together and talk about some more. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy this one. You know what I mean? A little bit more of long form content. You know, I like that. I like the way that goes. People got something to listen to or they at work. I know I love doing that. You know what I'm saying? I'll just be vibing out, listening to different shows.
True.
So, yeah, man, it was definitely good talking to you. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you for having me on, bro. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and we look forward to
people to know like what goes on, what truly goes on from the inside, and get an understanding like why people end up joining gangs or getting caught up in gangs, and like what is really like.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. Like, and then to show the you know what I'm saying, to show the underbelly of that beast. You know, to the people that don't know, you know what I mean? Because True. It's easy to get involved, bro. And before you know it, you knee deep in shit, but you know,
deep in shit and you're like, damn, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
How the fuck I get here? Or like, this is way more than I signed up for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Just, like, it's kind of like, you know, a lot of neighborhoods are just like infested with gangs. And like, it's just like an everyday story.
It is, you know, man. And that's with every gang. Yeah. Like our story is our story. It's unique to us. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we share the same organization, but it's a generalization for sure, man. We just talking about street life in general. You know what I'm saying? Whatever the case is, whatever block is, like it's all targeted in the same way, you know, in some form or fashion when it comes to recruiting and kids not understanding really the gravity of what they're getting into, you know. And it's all relevant, man. It all matters. So definitely, man, this was a good one. And we'll definitely do this again, man. So with that, I'll close this out. Yeah, so that's part two, man. Pretty powerful. Some pretty powerful stuff there. I got a lot of different things that I think of when I hear those stories. And right out the gate, man, I think, you know, just because it was closer to the end of the episode, I want to mention it right away. You know, just talking about how that guy
G, right? He's the Inca. You know, when he talks about how the regional enforcer just came in and stripped him of his spot, right? When he talked about the guy G, I always envisioned my old Inca J, you know, just the kind of person he was, you know, like, you know, he was a leader, yeah, but he had his own, you know, bullshit with him. And yeah, he was always in good standing, but, you know, he was kind of a piece of shit. And then look, in the end, all them years, them 20 plus years and all that time he was an Inca, and the regional enforcer just came in and stripped him like he was never nothing. I think that was one of the most crazy standout parts for me in the whole second half of the interview. Did you know a part I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I just think this whole story, if I can't believe that this would actually happen in, I mean, I guess I shouldn't probably say that because anything's possible to happen, but just to have all the chaos that happened and, you know, I don't know, just being asked to kill, because if I understood it right, he was basically told he had to kill his best friend or something. Did I get that right?
Well, he wasn't his best friend, right?
But they were pretty tight.
But they were tight, yeah. And you know, but even it not being your best friend, it's somebody that you see all the time. You know what I mean? Right. It's somebody that you're doing, you know, you probably done some dirt with. You know, you see this guy around. It's like, you know, you got to go kill him based on what, you know.
Right. And really what they were trying to kill him for was not even legitimate, if I understood it right. Correct.
Yeah. There was never even a solid answer behind this whole, you know, conspiracy theory that they put up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I took it as that somebody just had a personal vendetta against this person and said, we're going to off him, even though there was no real reason to.
Right. Right.
Yeah, which so. And really, when you think about it, that that is terrifying that could have happened. And when you really break it down, like, how easily could that have happened to you? How easily could that have happened to anybody that gets into this lifestyle? Because if the wrong person gets in power or you piss the wrong person off, I mean, there's nothing there to really prevent that from happening.
Right. You know? I mean, we've seen it. I mean, we kind of seen it on a lesser level. Like I've talked about instances, like even like for 23rd Street with Fat Boy and Hector, you know, like how, you know, Fat Boy basically used his position and kind of his standing on 23rd Street to basically rob Hector and X him out. You know, it's just one of those things, man, where the situation where, yeah, if you don't know the right people, you know, during these situations, it's not going to work out well for you, you know? And these situations are magnified because you see that these guys, you know, for the most part were good standing kings. It's not like they were like, you know, shiesty dudes who were looked down upon. You know, these are guys who were active members, paying their dues, putting in work, you know what I mean? All the above. And yet, you know, it's almost like, you know, when things are going smoothly, it's like the guys got to pick off their own prey, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like in, you know, in this instance, it's like, why are you bringing that inward for a bunch of your own people? You should be focused on all your enemies and all the people that are trying to hurt you. And instead it's like, you know, wow, let's find a reason to do something to this guy or this guy, you know? Somebody who's not in line with our narrative. And yeah, man, it's crazy because it really hits home for me, man, because when I had these conversations with him in person, you know, everything is so similar about how the lifestyle is. And we were in two different spots, but everything is so similar. And so I feel, you know, I feel it as he's describing it to me. You know what I mean? Like, damn, man, like how would I feel in that situation? Or, Yeah. What would it be like? And you know what I mean? Like standing in that meeting, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to be him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And one of the things that threw me off a little bit on this, and I know we've discussed this in a previous episode at some point in time, but he was talking about how at one point in time, him and somebody else, I can't remember who the other person was, got taken off of pay status.
Right, right. Yeah.
Remind me, what does that mean? I'm assuming pay status means that you have to pay dues.
So pay status is everybody has to pay dues, but status is basically a status that, you know, it's typically designed for like the older guys who got, you know, kids and they got families, and pay status basically allows him to pay a certain amount of money to the hood and not have to show up to certain meetings and, you know, do things like that, because that part of their career is kind of passed them up. You know what I mean? Like they're not in the street anymore. You know, they've done their dirt, but they're still active members, you know, so they have to pay a little more. You know, when you pay dues to the hood, it's going to be a certain amount. But when you're on pay status, you're actually paying to be on that status as well. You know, you're paying, you're contributing to the hood, but you're paying to be on that status because you can't be active and contributing to the hood in other ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So basically when they took him off of pay status, it meant that he had to be active again.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that's why it was so, you know, for somebody who had went and started a business and, you know, was working, it was devastating to him. You know what I mean? And not only that, is the politics behind it. He didn't want to be involved in the politics anymore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had done that for so long. A lot of these guys that were in at this point were coming in. They were new guys, you know, and that was another point, man. How about that? How about when they're standing in a circle and basically telling him he has to kill this dude in front of everybody? You know what I'm saying? Like all these witnesses.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy, right? Because I don't know. In your time, did a kill order ever come down in your time per se?
No, well, no, nothing directly like that. And I think I even discussed this with him on the episode during the interview, where our dynamics were different in the sense that he's in this circle, you know, with all these guys, most of whom he's not with on a day-to-day basis because there's so many members. You're not with those guys every day, you know, compared to my situation where I'm standing in a circle with guys that I'm usually with every single day. And so it was more common in my situation for guys to know about, you know, quote unquote work to be putting in, you know, because we were always together. 9 times out of 10, you know, those guys were with me when I did it, or I was with them when they did it. You know what I'm saying? And right. So in his situation, it wasn't like that. You know, there's people that would never know about the work you were putting in, even if they were in your own chapter, because you just weren't with them a lot. And so, you know, it's just crazy, the differences and the dynamic, but it's so similar in, you know, in so many, in every other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you've mentioned this before on previous episodes, but like if you went out and did something and per se somebody's, you come back to a party or whatever, and there's people there that weren't with you, it's not like one of these things where you would just be broadcasting that, oh, I just shot this guy. Kind of hush hush because you didn't really want everybody to know about it. Right.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't be like that. Now, you know, if I'm being honest, if the person at that party when I came back was Tim or Toot,
you would have told them.
Obviously they're going to know, you know what I'm saying? And then to some extent, the rest of the guys will know too, but on a different level, you know? Mm-hmm. And what I mean is we'll let them know just for general knowledge. So they know like, hey, yo, you know, one of these dudes got smoked over here. So, you know, be on point with these guys. You know what I mean? They're probably going to be coming for us. It won't be, yo, Birdo did this over here. You know what I'm saying? It won't be nothing like that. It'll just be like, hey, yo, man, you know, just so you know, like one of these dudes went down. So watch out. You know what I mean? So yeah, it's like that, bro. It's subtle. You know, you would still know without knowing.
And from like you said, you never really had per se a kill order. But if that were to happen, you would think that it would kind of be done in private, away from everybody else, so that to not completely expose you.
Yeah, and it's such a stupid move. Just on like the Incas part, like, bro, like you're literally, you're firsthand, you're going down for murder, bro. Like I understood the element where, you know, where Steve was coming from in a sense, like, yo, I'm going to be the one doing it. So obviously I'm going to get banked. Like, yeah, for sure. You're going down, bro. But not only that, he's going down too. You know what I'm saying? Like the Inca's going down too, because everybody's going to be like, yeah, he ordered it. I was standing right there. You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point. Yeah.
Right. So it's like, man, this dude had to be really, really dumb. But that just goes to show that, you know, it's about the greater politics, whatever politics they had behind that decision. It was more important than their own well-being, which is crazy to say, but it's true, man. And that's how these dudes are. They come up with these different philosophies on how to lead, and, you know, everybody has their own little say so that they're involved in their leadership. And that's how that favoritism shit happens and hypocrisy shit happens. And you run into situations that I've been into a million times, that Steve's been into a million times. And to be fair, that other guys have been, that I've put them through, because like I said, man, I'm no better. You know, I was a hypocrite just as well when I was in leadership. You know what I mean? I had favoritism, all that shit, you know? So, you know, my point is to never exclude me. If anything, it's to use myself as an example.
Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned earlier too about how G reminded you of J.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think J had, because I believe you mentioned before that J kind of hit, at least in your time, had a short run, so it wasn't around that long before it was kind of gone. But do you think, given him the time, would he have gone to the extent that this story goes to? Could you see him capable of that? Or do you think G was just like a really bad version of J?
Nah, for sure. J was a dirty dude, in every sense of the word. You know, he claimed to be a nation man, but was the farthest thing from it. I mean, from the day one, right? Let's just call a spade here. From the beginning, when I became a king, when I became 19th Street, I was already made. I already got my crown. I'm 13. He's 16. He slept with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. right? Who ended up being my kid's mom. Now she's 13 too. So that right there, right out the gate, shows the kind of, that's mm-hmm. loyalty, you know what I mean? To somebody who you're calling your brother, who you literally was, you know, just, you were just the one who basically okayed me become a king. You know what I mean? You were standing there when everybody voted for me. And so it's like, damn. So that's one, right? And then he had a checkered history from there, bro. Just conduct that was, you know, really, really sketchy and really, really just foul, bro. Foul conduct, you know, even like giving out violations for not necessarily nation issues, but his own issues. You know what I mean? Like there's a difference when you put that in there. You know what I mean? Your own personal feelings. And so, yeah, yeah, Jay was capable of all of it, bro. He was capable of everything that the dude G was. And I seen a lot of those same characteristics, and that's really what reminded me of him. You know what I mean? And even up until this point, you know, I talk about it now, like, I think it's pretty clear. It's pretty evident Jay cooperated. I think if people want to deny that, that's fine, you know, but the proof is in the pudding. And I'm not here bashing him. Listen, I cooperated too. It is what it is. I seen it for what it was. I guess, you know, the reality is I don't hide behind my decision. You know, I understood why I made the decision. You know, not everybody has to agree with it. You know what I mean? I live with it. You know, I know. But yeah, that, you know, Jay was Jay was capable of it all. And so was I, bro. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. This lifestyle breeds just these kind of humans. You know, like as righteous as a person can be for a period of time is as unrighteous and, you know, evil as a person can be for a certain period of time. And that's just, that's built within that lifestyle, man. There's, you know, there's very few people who you can say don't have any stripes against them. You know what I mean? Who like, you know, are 100% good, solid dudes. You know, like, look at, like, I always give my credit and I tip my cap to like Champ and Boy. You know, obviously Champ's in his own situation right now. I don't know what he's got going on, but Boy was always, he's always, but like I said, that's this version. Who's to say that somebody, that new Boy in a different lifetime has everything good to say about him? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, well, yeah, so.
Yeah. And you really think about it is that it's all perspective, and a person that you thought was a good guy, somebody else, if you brought him on here, might say, oh no, that guy was a monster, you know?
Right. Right.
So.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that dislike me, that disliked me during my era, and rightfully so. I was a piece of shit, but there's a lot of people that would have laid their life down for me, you know? And I think that's, that says a lot about, you know, the kind of person I was, good or bad.
Well, all I can say is that if anybody listened to this story and still thinks joining a gang is a good idea, I don't know what you're smoking. So
yeah, I think at this point, man, I think a lot of our viewers are educated. I think they understand, you know, obviously what I say isn't gospel. You know what I mean? I can only give you my point of view and my perception and my experience, right? And let everybody make their own decision and draw their own conclusions. But with that being said, I think a lot of people now, you know, they have a good idea of what's real and what's fake and what was real and what was fake. And now, you know, I like to think that they listen in to hear, you know, our perspective and you know, and our view on these different situations and different people. You know what I mean? Like, I think at this point we've earned a little bit of credibility with that. You know what I mean? Where it's not just about, it doesn't just have to be about, us spreading one message. You know what I mean? I think we have a lot of value that we bring with all the different people that we've talked to, man. And all the different situations that we've come across in our own lives. You know, I think this channel is developed into something a little bit more.
It's just it's a place where you can really hear what that life is like. And
for sure.
And
raw, you know, raw maybe, and uncut. Yeah.
And maybe it's not maybe it was a little limiting initially because it was only one perspective, but now we're bringing in more perspectives. And I can tell you, cause I've listened to all the other interviews that Berto has done. And I can tell you that there is nobody that's going to bring a better perspective than Berto does, because I think it just keeps getting worse and worse from the interviews that go through.
Yeah.
You know, well, like it's scarier and scarier.
Yeah. You get to see the underbelly of a lot of different areas of the country, man. You know, I think I'm blessed in the sense where I've got the ability to talk to people that been through situations similar to mine. You know, whether it's more intensified or less intensified and different parts of the country. And I think that's what's cool. You know what I mean? We can bring that different element, you know, into it. Yeah, man, I'm glad we needed the chance to pivot. We needed a chance to refresh. But yeah, I think we're bringing a lot to the table, man.
Yeah. And I just want to give a little, you mind if we give a little drop on what's coming in the next episode?
For sure, for sure.
So all I want to say is when you tune into the next series of interviews, you're going to learn on why you never, ever, ever want to go to prison in California. Mm. In fact, after listening to the interviews for the next series, I've thought about never going to California again, just to make sure I don't end up anywhere near a prison in California, because it's horrifying. So,
yeah, listen, man, I think, you know, if we're being fair, right, let's just call, this is my perspective. Everybody in the country, every region of the country, right? And you'll notice it when you go to the feds, right? Anytime people that are in the feds, you almost get territorial, meaning you represent really, really hard where you're from. And mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, guys from Milwaukee, guys from you know, Wisconsin, when they go to the feds, you know, obviously we don't have a super big population that's going to be in the federal system. And so you kind of hold on pride wise to what you love. Like, so for us, it'd be like our sports teams, you know what I'm saying? Like what we're known for, like the Bucks, the Brewers, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's how it is. Everybody, like, in different regions, they hold on tight to what they are. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, like New Yorkers, they think that, you know, the world started in New York you know what I mean? And then, you know,
lost every one of our New York listeners. Good job.
Well, it's the truth though. You know what I mean? And I had like some New York friends that were good New York friends, and I still got New York friends to this day. But literally when you talk to them, bro, they think New York's, you know what I mean? The whole world started there. And so my whole point of saying all that is what are you known for? Okay. Well, you know, like, Chicago is known for the motherland of gangs. Mm-hmm. Like, when people think of gang activity, sure, there's Bloods and Crips on the West Coast, Bloods and Crips on the East Coast, and there's gang activity, hard gang banging all across the country. But when you think about the motherland of gang activity, it comes from Chicago. Well, I can say this. When you think about the motherland of organized prison crime, it's California.
And it's horrifying.
Yeah. And California and California has the politics, bro. It's the crazy. It's a whole entire world, bro, that is dynamic, and it's dangerous. And it's just crazy to get into. And I'm looking forward to the episode as well. Yeah, bro, it's definitely something. And he won't be the last. He won't be the last person that I have, you know, California wise, because I got some other crazy, a different perspective of a California element.
Yeah. I mean, when I listened to those interviews, if you remember a long, long time back, we had a guest on, and I think he had started in Chicago as a Latin King, but then somehow he ended up working with the drug cartels. And yeah, he ended up in prison in Mexico.
Right. Yeah.
And the stuff that comes up in this interview reminded me a lot of the stuff he was talking about in Mexican prisons. Yeah. And I couldn't believe that. Like, when I heard that, I was like, wow, that is scary. And then I could never have imagined that kind of prison system existed here, you know?
Yeah. The difference, the craziest difference, is that a lot of that shit that goes on, they're done in like max prisons with like very minimal movement, you know what I mean, restricted movement. Like the sophistication that these dudes end up developing by just doing time in these prisons is mind-blowing. I'm telling you, like, yeah, they created that level of prison politics and sophistication. California, definitely, they get the credit for creating that and setting that precedent.
Yeah. So we should probably stop talking about it. Otherwise we'll give up everything that's coming in the next episode. Yeah. So, with that, do you got anything else you want to talk about, or should we wrap this up?
Nothing, just, you know, I appreciate everybody, coming back to the show. You know, it was a little layover, but, we're back, you know, true to our word. Once again, we appreciate everybody. Just like, subscribe, you know, join the Patreon. Obviously we do have a YouTube page. It's important for everybody to get on there, like and subscribe and follow the channel. We appreciate everybody and just thank you and hope everybody enjoys the content.
In addition to the YouTube page, we also have a Patreon that you can find at patreon.com/normalizedcrime. So check that out. And we also do have an email address that you can reach out to us with any feedback at normalizedcrime@gmail.com. And we will be back next week with the Patreon and in 2 weeks with the mysterious California episode that we spent way too much time talking about in this episode. So thanks everybody for tuning in and we'll see you on the next one.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Normalized Crime. Stay tuned for the next episode.